Quince Podcast.
November 26, 2008. There's perhaps still a lingering sense of disbelief as we talk about that day.
As we approached the Oberoi, I looked up from my car and I saw a lot of the lights switched on in most of the rooms. And as we approached closer, we're about 50 yards away, I look up and there's this burst of gunfire. There was a single fire brigade there at that point. The dome of the Taj was up in flames. You could hear constant fire. This was unreal. One couldn't believe that this was happening in Bombay.
In the past years, a lot has been said about how the 26/11 attacks upended the bustling city of Mumbai. Those who survived to tell the tale, journalists who were out in the streets reporting, books, movies that tried to document people's stories, have all tried to capture the horror show that was unleashed in the city down to the minutest details. And so even more than a decade later, the 26/11 attacks in Mumbai remains to be an unforgotten event.
Two or three aspects of that time that really stood out for me as flashbulb moments. One was seeing baby Moshe's nanny running out with him out of Nariman House. Another was the image of the last morning of the siege of NSG commandos coming down from a helicopter hovering over Nariman House. This was a sight that was in complete dissonance with the concrete jungle around us. Very surreal.
As 10 Lashkar-e-Taiba terrorists lay siege to the city, over 3 days, more than 160 lives were lost, including policemen, Indian citizens and foreign visitors, and more than 300 were left injured. Those wounds may have healed, damaged buildings may have been rebuilt, but the bloodbath and the sheer terror of 26 November 2008 still remains raw.
What you are putting out, hum kya bole, rumors kya fact hai, ye sahi mein hai ki gaadiyan leke bile parle ki taraf terrorists ja rahe, matlab is tarah ki khabrein phail rahi thi aur ek bahut hi, it was a real trial by fire for the media.
You're tuned in to The Big Story and I'm Shorbury, and on the 12th anniversary of the 26/11 attack, we bring to you first-hand accounts of three journalists who covered the attack from ground zero. In this podcast, you'll hear from Raksha Shetty, Maruk Inayat and Shai Venkat Raman talk about how they went around covering the attack. Along with that, we also have with us Anjali Kulte, staff nurse of labor room at Kama Hospital, who showed extreme grit and saved the lives of several pregnant women when the hospital had come under attack. You'll also hear from Dr. Shailesh Mohite, former forensic head at Nye Hospital, who recounts how he had to operate on the lone surviving terrorist, Ajmal Kasab. Twelve iconic spots in Mumbai were attacked in 3 days by Lashkar-e-Taiba terrorists. First, the Chhatrapati Shivaji terminus came under attack by Ajmal Kasab and Ismail Khan at around 9:30 p.m. at night. 58 people died there as they opened fire. Then the Kama Hospital. Even though the attack was thwarted by hospital staff, a short distance away from the hospital, ATS officer Hemant Karkare and other police officers, Vijay Salaskar, Ashok Kamte and Tukaram Omle fell victims to an ambush. The second site of the attack was Nariman House, a Jewish outreach center run by a Jewish couple. The hosts, Gabriel and Rivka Holzberg, lost their lives along with 5 other Israeli citizens in that building. The 2-year-old orphan child of the couple, Moshe, who was saved by his Indian nanny Sandra Samuel, emerged to be the face of innocence in a stark contrast to all the bloodshed. Simultaneously, Leopold Cafe, a popular restaurant and bar on Kolaba Causeway, was attacked by 2 other terrorists, killing 10 people. And after that, they proceeded towards the iconic Taj Hotel, where they held victims hostage for 3 days and left a trail of dead bodies. Maruk Inayat, the news editor of Times Now, who used to co-anchor the primetime news show with the then editor-in-chief of the channel, Arnab Goswami, was packing up and preparing to head home when she received the first updates of the commotion in the city. Who was attacking? Where were they? Is it a gang war? Unlike now, when social media has come to be at the heart of communication, instant information was harder to source. And Maruk Inayat talks about the chaos and confusion that took over while simultaneously the busy streets of Mumbai went quiet.
I had just finished the News Hour. I used to, it's a show on a leading English news channel along with my co-anchor. And we were actually leaving the building and I was supposed to go out somewhere that evening, or that night rather. Suddenly, Arnab, who was my editor at that point, he got a call and he hung up with a very strange expression on his face and he said that, you know, I had just a call that, or somebody telling me that there are terrorists inside the Trident. And my first reaction was, I think it's a prank call. And he said, no, there was something about the voice and the tonality. I think we must go back in. Check out what's happening. So we went back into the newsroom. And at that time, there was really no information coming in. And suddenly, in like 30 seconds or so, we got information of a gang war in Cafe Leopold, which is a cafe in South Mumbai, very close to what ultimately became the final battlefield. So we tried finding out, but in the meantime, you know, in a television newsroom, what happens is you're surrounded by television screens and you're constantly looking at the feeds of other news channels. So I looked up and I saw Star News, which is now ABP News, showing visuals of people running outside the Chhatrapati Shivaji Terminus. I was like, this is not Cafe Leopold, and why are people running helter-skelter? I mean, this was raw, almost like raw feed on the channel, which they had just put up. But at the same time, there was no indication of a terror strike. That's when we got first information from our journalists in Delhi, who have sources in the Home Ministry. And they said it could be a possible terror attack. Mm-hmm. But we broke into the rundown and we broke news first of a gang war in Cafe Leopold. And this was 10:15 on a Wednesday evening. Most of the reporters had gone home. And I told Arnab, I said, I think I should go there. So he said, yes, just rush. And I got my camera person together and we rushed towards Cafe Leopold. On the way, I got a call and saying that go towards Oberoi's. Now, this is Mumbai, and I don't know if you're familiar with Mumbai. On any given night, right, there's enough traffic on the roads and more. And I remember passing Mahalakshmi and then Haji Ali, which is on the way to the Oberoi. And there was hardly any traffic. And I'm like, this was Wednesday evening. And those were the days when, you know, social media was as active as it is now. I know it's hard to imagine, it's only 12 years, but we didn't get as many updates. It wasn't flashed. I mean, social media was just not around in that sense. So we had no way of knowing what else is happening. It was all, you could only bank on your reporters, right? And many of them were trying to reach the spot just as I was. So I reached Marine Drive and it was absolute deathly silence. There was no traffic on Marine Drive. This is like one of the most, the busiest roads per se, or boulevards in Mumbai.
And close to the Oberoi Trident, she heard gunshots. As dead bodies were being shifted into ambulances from the lobby, she got news of the catastrophe that was going on inside the Taj Hotel. And that's where she was parked for the next 72 hours.
As we approached the Oberoi, I looked up from my car and I saw a lot of the lights switched on in most of the rooms. So I told the driver to stop the car. I got out of the car with my camera person and we started walking towards the Oberoi. There is nobody there. Marine Drive, at any given point, again, has people milling around. There's nobody there. So, obviously, something is amiss. And as we approach closer, we're about 50 yards away, I look up and there's this burst of gunfire from one of the windows of the hotel room. And we ducked for cover and we went into the side street, which was actually going behind the Oberoi. So, we're standing there and right across, I can see some movement. This must have been the lobby area or the coffee shop. But I couldn't make out which part because I wasn't familiar with the hotel that much. And then I saw these two ambulances come in. And you know how they had those trolleys for the bags, for the luggage? They were bringing bodies out and putting them into the ambulance. And I started counting the bodies. And at that point, there were about 9 bodies that were put into the ambulance and they just sped off. So we had no idea what was going on. At that point, we realized that the Taj was, there was a almost catastrophic, you know, situation at the Taj. So I was told to rush there. And that is where I was parked for the next 72 hours. But when I reached the Taj, there was a single fire brigade there at that point. The dome of the Taj was up in flames. You could hear constant fire. This was unreal. You can't imagine this. I'm from Kashmir, so I'm used to gunfire. But this, one couldn't believe that this was happening in Bombay.
Raksha Shetty, who was working as a general news correspondent at CNN-IBN, was at a Mumbai residence close to Nariman House when the initial rumours were breaking out, and suddenly her room shook to the sound of a blast. Was she scared as she went out to report? She says there was no fear but a lot of uncertainties to face, a lot of rumours to separate from facts. Raksha Shetty says that the reassurance that she was reporting from her own turf, the knowledge of the neighbourhood and people, put her at a distinct advantage as she went on to covering the Nariman House attack.
I was working with CNN-IBN in 2008, November, at the time as a general news correspondent, and I was home the evening of the 26th. Heard, you know, from my neighbors that there was a shootout at Leopold's. News travels really fast in Colaba, and we put it down to a local gun battle, possibly a drug battle that was... you know, would happen from time to time there. But a few minutes later, a grenade or a bomb of some kind was lobbed over at the petrol pump right outside Nariman House and outside my place as well. And my room shook. And I knew right away that this was no ordinary confrontation. Jumped out of bed, put on my clothes. And from that moment, when I was actually the first to break the news of Nariman House being, in fact, also a target of the 26/11 attack, I don't think there was any fear at the time at all, because things were unfolding. We were not sure which way things are going, how severe it was or not. It was just an acute awareness for me as a journalist that I was on home ground. My knowledge of the area and the people there had put me in a very unique situation of being able to get the facts right, observing myself firsthand, what was going on, what was unfolding, having, of course, very reliable sources in the neighborhood from having been there for so many years and reporting it right, especially with all the rumors and misinformation swirling around us. So knowledge of that area also meant that I was able to position myself at a vantage point from where all the events at Nariman House were unfolding in front of me. So with the help of many locals, we got ourselves down at the end of Fourth Pasta Lane, as it's called. And sometimes I was, you know, reporting from the top of Pipewala building that is directly opposite, has a direct view into Habad House. And it was being constantly at these vantage points, especially again with the help of the locals, that allowed me to report very accurately, make sense of the utter chaos that had broken all around. For our viewers, it was simply because I was reporting what I was seeing firsthand day after day, it sounded quite believable and it was fairly accurate. And this was at a time when, remember, law enforcement was severely encumbered and not always working with journalists the way they usually do. So it was really down to what the reporters were seeing firsthand and hearing from their sources right around the area that most of the accurate information was coming out. Also, we have to keep in mind that city reporters had then, and never since then either, ever experienced urban warfare of this kind. So while we were laying down behind meager barricades or on terraces of neighboring buildings, where I would often go ducking every time a shot or an RPG was fired, we were not always aware of the range of an AK-47 or of the RPGs that the terrorists were using. And we were positioned precariously close to the building, at least to Nariman House that I was, to get the best views for our cameras and for me to report for our viewers and for all other stakeholders what I was witnessing.
As the terrorists continued to hold hostages in the Chabad house, NSG commandos arrived in helicopters and stormed the building. For Raksha, those moments are still surreal.
Two or three aspects of that time that really stood out for me as flashbulb moments. One was seeing baby Moshe's nanny running out with him out of Nariman House. Another was the image of the last morning of the siege of NSG commandos coming down from a helicopter hovering over Nariman House. This was a sight that was in complete dissonance with the concrete jungle around us. Very surreal. And then when it was all over, doing a sit-down interview with Karambir Kang, who was the general manager of the Taj at the time. This was a very emotional sort of interview for whoever of us was present there. Myself as the interviewer, the camera crew, himself, of course, given what had happened to his family. And because of all these experiences, I would say that 2611, even so many years on, was a shared experience, of course, for the victims and the survivors, most acutely, but also for law enforcement personnel and journalists who were present on the scene, because our lives were intertwined in many, many ways. With many of the people affected and with what was happening and unfolding before us.
When you look back, that fateful day had begun just like any other ordinary day for ordinary Mumbaikars. Nothing suspicious, nothing unusual. When Anjali Kulte, staff nurse of labor room at Kama Hospital, reported to work, little did she know what was to come. Two out of the 10 terrorists, Ajmal Kasab and Ismail Khan, after killing 58 people at the Chhatrapati Shivaji Terminus railway station, headed towards the Kama Hospital. There, they killed two security guards and stormed through the hospital and through the maternity ward before heading to the terrace with hostages. But in the face of such a crisis, Kulte, along with her colleagues, displayed such immense bravado in saving lives of patients. She says it was the weight of a nurse's uniform that gave her the courage that day.
26/11 ki us raat ko hum hamesha ki tarah duty pe aaye the aur is bare mein hame malum nahi tha ki terrorist attack wagaira ke bare mein kuch malum nahi tha. Hamesha ki tarah hum duty pe aaye the. 8 se 8 hamari 12 ghante ki duty hoti hai aur us darmiyan jab hum duty pe join hue to hame message mila phone se ki CST station par firing ho rahi hai karke. तो उसके लिए आपको इमरजेंसी तैयारी रखनी है. उसी दरमियान मुझे 9:30 के दरमियान फायरिंग की आवाज़ सुनाई दी, तो मैं खिड़की की तरफ भागी. तो मैंने देखा कि दो टेररिस्ट आगे भाग रहे थे और अपने पुलिस जो है वो पीछे से फायरिंग कर रही थी. हम लोगों ने खिड़की से देखा तो मेरे साथ मेरी एक सर्वेंट थी हीरा जाधव और एक थी मधु चौहान करके. हम तीनों पेशेंट को लेने के लिए बाथरूम में गए. बाथरूम की खिड़की से हम लोगों ने देखा कि वो टेररिस्ट जो है वो गेट से छलांग लगाकर अंदर आ चुके थे और जैसे ही मेजॉरिटी में हम लोगों को देखा तो उन्होंने दो फायर कर दिए. तो पहले फायर में तो लाइट वगैरह चली गई. सेकंड फायर में मेरी सर्वेंट जो है हीरा जाधव उसको गोली लग के गई. तो मैंने देखा मेन गेट के ऊपर ही दो फायर किए थे उन्होंने. दोनों वॉचमैन उनको फायर किए थे. तो ये सब देख के मैं भागकर अपनी वार्ड में आ गई. मेन गेट बंद किया और फिर सभी अपनी 20 पेशेंट थे उस रात को मेरे साथ. प्रेग्नेंट वुमन थी तो वो सभी पेशेंट को मैंने अपने पैंट्री में शिफ्ट किया और वो 10x10 के रूम में 20 पेशेंट को लेके मैं वो रूम में थी. पेशेंट काफ़ी डरे हुए थे, रो रहे थे, कोई फ़ोन पर बात कर रहे थे रिलेटिव्स को कि यहाँ पर फायरिंग हो रही है तो आप आके लेके जाओ वगैरह. और फिर वो लोगों को मॉरल सपोर्ट दिया मैंने और फ़ोन स्विच ऑफ करने को बोले. पुलिस आने की वजह से टेररिस्ट ऊपर भागने लगे और पुलिस आ गई थी तो ये सब 5 माले पे ऊपर तक गए और उनके फायरिंग दोनों साइड से चल रही थी. टेररिस्ट हैंड ग्रेनेड भी फेंक रहे थे और हैंड ग्रेनेड फेंकने की वजह से जैसे कि अर्थक्वेक होने के बाद जैसे हादसा होता है, मीन्स इमारत ऐसे हिलने लगी. तो ये सब ऐसी सिचुएशन में ये तो तय था कि कल की सुबह हम देख नहीं पाएंगे. तो अभी ये जो वक्त है ये मेरा वक्त है और इसमें मुझे जो करना है वो मुझे करना है, क्योंकि मरना तो तय है लेकिन कुछ करके मरना है। एक जुनून था, एक ये यूनिफॉर्म की पावर थी जो ये सब करवा रही थी मुझसे। फिर पेशेंट को मॉरल सपोर्ट दिया मैंने, ये हाइपरटेंशन की जो पेशेंट थी उसे, और फिर उसे मैंने लेबर वार्ड में शिफ्ट करना मुनासिब समझा क्योंकि डॉक्टर नीचे आने के लिए तैयार नहीं थी। उन्होंने बोला ऐसी फायरिंग में मैं नीचे नहीं आ सकती। और ऐसे पेशेंट की अगर नॉर्मल डिलीवरी होने वाली होती तो मैं कर लेती, लेकिन सीवियर हाइपरटेंशन की जो पेशेंट थी उसे पीडियाट्रिशियन और गायनेकोलॉजिस्ट दोनों की ज़रूरत थी, तो ऐसे में मैंने उसे पेशेंट को शिफ्ट करना मुनासिब समझा। और फिर मैंने फ़ोन पे इन्फॉर्म किया कि मैं पेशेंट को लेके लेबर वार्ड में आ रही है, तो उन्होंने बोला ठीक है आप आ जाओ। फिर पेशेंट को मॉरल सपोर्ट देके मैं स्टेयरकेस से मैं उसका हाथ पकड़ के मैं आगे और वो पीछे, ऐसे हम लोग दीवार को ऐसे चिपक के जाने लगे, क्योंकि थोड़ा भी अगर हम हिलते तो कोई भी गोली किसी को भी ये कर देती थी। तो ये एक टेंशन था मुझे कि गोली भले मुझे लगे लेकिन पेशेंट को लगेगी, तो वो मेरे लिए इतना जो मैं मेहनत कर रही हूँ यहाँ तक पेशेंट को शिफ्ट करने के लिए, तो ये सोचकर मैंने पेशेंट को मैं आगे थी और पेशेंट को हाथ पकड़ के मैं दीवार को सटक के ले गई।
एंड व्हाइल यू फॉलोइंग द न्यूज ऑफ दिस मेहम, इमेजिन गेटिंग अ कॉल इन्फॉर्मिंग यू दैट यू हैव टू ऑपरेट on two of the terrorists who are behind such a dastardly attack. Dr. Mohite, former forensic head at Naya Hospital, remembers receiving that exact call from the hospital. When he reached the trauma center of the emergency ward, he saw a dead terrorist and Ajmal Kasab, the only one who was captured alive.
I remember many things of that night, watching TV, listening to the news of the attack, which was initially thought to be some sort of gang war, to later on declaring it as a terrorist attack, to knowing that few of the top officers of our country being injured, some lost their lives during that attack. And as while I was watching the TV, I getting a call from the hospital that one such person, a terrorist, has been brought to our hospital. I was then attached to Nair Hospital. I was working as professor and head, Department of Forensic Medicine. So I had received a call that one captured alive and one dead terrorist has been brought to the casualty, and I need to come down and examine. When they were brought by police, and since they were captured, they were carrying weapons. So it was very clear that these were the two, out of which the mastermind, Abu Ismail, he was brought dead, and Ajmal Kasab was captured alive. He had a wound on his hand, and he was talking. So back of the mind, I had think, suppose tomorrow they come and try to attack the hospital and take away their colleagues. So that sort of preparedness also was at the back of my mind, so as to not to disclose the exact location where they have been kept. Only a few select officers and a few select hospital administrators were aware as to where, because we are about 1600 bedded hospital at Nair, and therefore we did not wanted to risk the life of so many patients, because here we were dealing with terrorists, and therefore one has to be very cautious while handling them in all aspects, say treatment wise. Now when you say about terrorists, you realize that they can do anything. Okay, they might consume a cyanide capsule, to they might attack you. So one has to be very, very careful.
Despite the terror whirlwind that had shaken up the city, This was also a time when fake news didn't dominate the news sphere so openly. And it was up to the media and the journalists on ground to report responsibly. Shai Venkatraman, who was then working for NDTV, says that all hands were on deck in the newsroom. And as information kept pouring in without enough certainty about what was a fact and what was not, she says that this moment came to be media's trial by fire.
हमारे न्यूज़रूम में उस वक्त एनडीटीवी के न्यूज़रूम में बिल्कुल एक केओस था और मुझे पता था कि कुछ रिपोर्टर्स जो ताज के साइड में थे वो चले गए थे ऑटोमेटिकली तो मैंने कहा ठीक है मैं अस्पताल जाती हूँ सबसे नियरेस्ट हॉस्पिटल तो बॉम्बे हॉस्पिटल था तो मैं वहां सीधा चली गई तो एक बिल्कुल केओस था मतलब आइडिया ही नहीं था कि कहां से क्या हो रहा है रिपोर्ट्स थे कि बहुत सारे टेररिस्ट शहर के अंदर सबर्ब्स की तरफ जा रहे थे गाड़ियों में मतलब एक There was no clarity of information and just as you know, for the first 12 hours, 15 hours, the Mumbai police was also completely, taken by surprise. And जैसे हम मुंबई बॉम्बे हॉस्पिटल गए वो जब frankly मुझे भी एहसास it hit me when I saw the bodies of Hemant Karkare and the policeman being brought in because तीनों को मुंबई बॉम्बे हॉस्पिटल आया गया. स्ट्रेचर्स पे और मैं वहां खड़ी थी और जब तीनों करकरे जो उस टाइम पे एटीएस के चीफ थे सालस्कर एनकाउंटर स्पेशलिस्ट व्हेन दे वर ब्रॉट इन एंड यू सॉ द पुलिस उनके साथ जो थे रो रहे थे दैट्स व्हेन इट हिट मी कि ये मतलब दिस इज एक्चुअली हैपन दिस इज रियल दिस इज यू नो दिस इज ऑन द स्केल व्हिच वी कुड हैव नेवर इमेजिनड दैट बॉम्बे कुड एक्सपीरियंस एनी सिटी इन इंडिया कुड एक्सपीरियंस एंड देन फ्रॉम देयर ऑफ कोर्स As reporters, we would never have enough reporters to cover a situation like this because itne locations the, itne rumors the. धीरे धीरे पता लगा कि खाबाद हाउस कोलाबा में भी सीज है. शुरू में पता ही नहीं था हम ताज ट्राइडेंट और कामा वगैरह ये locations because these people were moving. कसाब वगैरह for some time they were moving till they were cornered on Marine Drive. तो वी वर ग्रैपलिंग विद दैट. धीरे फिर पता लगा कुछ घंटों बाद कि नहीं खाबाद हाउस में भी घुस चुके हैं कुछ लोग. और वहां पे अ फैमिली इज बीइंग हेल्ड हॉस्टेज सो इट वाज यू नो हिटिंग अस इन वेव्स एंड फॉर द मीडिया आल्सो इन इंडिया इट हैड नेवर कवर्ड अ सिचुएशन लाइक दिस वेयर यू हैड नो पुलिस पर्सन टू टॉक टू यू हैड नो सीनियर पुलिस पर्सन इवन हैड द टाइम टू टेल यू और द इंफॉर्मेशन टू टेल यू सो इट वाज कंप्लीटली केओटिक कंप्लीटली स्कैरी And you had to be very responsible because this was live coverage.
Exactly.
Or what you are putting out, हम क्या बोलें, rumours क्या fact हैं, ये सही में है कि गाड़ियाँ लेके विले पार्ले की तरफ terrorists जा रहे हैं, मतलब इस तरह की खबरें फैल रही थी और एक बहुत ही it was a real trial by fire for the media. तो ये constant जो एक तरह से of course कुछ एक दो दिन बाद कुछ information आने लगे मुंबई पुलिस से जो थोड़ा सा हम We could go by factually, but शुरू में तो for the first 48 hours कुछ खबर ही नहीं थी and you have to understand that the Mumbai police was also hit by the deaths of three of its senior most officers. So it was a huge sense of shock. That the city was everybody the senior most levels there was no information coming for a long time right. until you had. Some sense of control with the security forces coming from the center. वो जब ताज में घुस गए वहां पे थोड़ा सा जब control आया तब थोड़ी खबर आने लगी थोड़ा सा information था but कुछ हद तक it was always कि हम क्या डाल रहे हैं कौन देख रहा है वो information हम किस हद तक बोल रहे हैं उससे it's not just the public as you know it later emerged that our coverage was being watched by people who were carrying it out. So you had to be very careful कि हम क्या किस हद तक information डालें बदली तो थी एक तरह से एक I think you felt a great sense of responsibility as a reporter of course you always want to be responsible as a reporter but उस दिन एहसास हुआ कि हम क्या कह रहे हैं वो क्या डाल रहे हैं information किस तरह से लोगों के पास जा रही है because जहां भी हम गए उसके बाद दूसरों के घरों में you saw everyone was watching the media everyone was watching the news reports सब वहीं से एक तरह से खबर एक तरह से उम्मीद सब वहीं से मिल रही थी लोगों को so you really felt कि हम किस तरह से हम क्या words use करते हैं हम कैसे हम दो मिनट रुक भी जाएं but let's not put it out right away because हर चीज की कितनी वैल्यू है कितनी वेटेज है और वो एक आई रियली फेल्ट इट दैट डे कि रिस्पॉन्सिबल रिपोर्टिंग का मतलब क्या होता है रिस्पॉन्सिबल इज अबाउट सो मच देन इट्स It's about getting the facts right. Yes, it's also about when to put that fact out. You know, वो दो मिनट का फर्क हम बोलें कि अगर अगर हम कह दें समझ लीजिए एनएसजी कमांडोज ने पोजीशन ले लिया है और एनएसजी कमांडोज घुस गए हैं. I mean, there's a difference. At what time you put that information out?
Right.
But there are so many lives depending on that. I think that is. I'm not saying anyone should learn like this. I never want anybody, any city, any reporter to experience this.
Even 12 years after, Venkatraman says that she'll never forget the image of the police officers who fell victims to an intense gunfight.
The image of those three police officers as they were brought into Bombay Hospital, wo main kabhi nahi bhulungi, because some of them were officers I had interacted with very closely in my career working in Mumbai. Mumbai is a reporter, so I will never forget one of them. In fact, I had just met a few days before he was killed, and he was in the midst of a very sensitive investigation himself, the Malegaon blast, Hemant Karkare. So you know, ye sab images hai mere liye. Dusra ye tha ki Khabad House mein jab wo bacche ko rescue kiya gaya aur uski nani saath mein bahar aayi Sandra, and you know she's being led away gaadi ke andar, wo ek खबर थी. बिकॉज इट्स रॉन्ग, मैं आई डोंट नो इफ इट्स होप नहीं बोलूंगी, बट वो देख के हमें लगा कि शायद उम्मीद थी कि बच गए होंगे. यू नो, अगर वो बच्चा निकल गया तो मे बी द पेरेंट्स वर अलाइव. तो फॉर अ वाइल वी केप्ट होपिंग कि शायद वहां से खबर इतनी बुरी नहीं होगी, बट ऑब्वियसली वैसा नहीं था. बट द अदर थिंग आई नेवर फॉरगेट इज, यू नो, इन दोज डेज the way our security forces looked so much in control, unko dekh ke hame thoda sa, you know, we've derived our strength from them. In Taj, wherever they looked so, obviously aisa nahi tha, they were also grappling with a situation that perhaps they had never faced, but jis tarah se wo control mein the Khabad House mein, in fact as the last moments that as the whole encounter ended, all the terrorists inside were killed, I covered Khabad for the last 48 hours. I was mostly at Khabad till it ended. Wo jis tarah se unhone alag alag jagah pe gharon mein locations positions liye, kyunki wo bahut hi crowded neighborhood hai jahan pe log the ghar mein, to ye log jahan jab fire kar rahe the, terrorist kisi ko bhi lag sakta tha. To wo puri situation manage karke phir bhi wo ghar ke andar ghuse, and they managed to end that siege was just very very I won't use the word inspiring, but tremendous work done by the security forces. You know, you felt so proud that they were there. You really felt safe.
If you like listening to this episode, please subscribe to the Big Story playlist for episodic updates. We'll have on Apple, Google Podcast, Spotify, JioSaavn, and most of the other popular podcast streaming platforms. For other podcasts, please log on to the Quinn website and check out the podcast section. For any feedback, shoot an email to podcasts@thequinn.com.
Thanks for listening. Log on to the Quinn's website and check out our other podcasts.